This is American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. While mental health in rural America is becoming okay to talk about, Wisconsin dairy farmer Randy Recker, also of the Farmer Angel Network, says mental health in agriculture and rural America is finally becoming an open topic.
You know, it's becoming okay to start talking about this now. It used to be a topic that everybody pushed aside and it was ignored, but we're bringing this out into the light right now and to recognize that we can talk about this.
Recker took part in a panel discussion during the American Farm Bureau Federation virtual annual convention called Farm State of Mind. He says focusing on mental health is a community effort.
One of the things we discussed too was the warning signs, what to look for. You know, a person lets their appearance go, either, you know, ate a lot or not enough, didn't sleep, slept too much, you know, everything. There's all these signs and you just don't care anymore. These are the warning signs that you have to look out for. And the biggest thing is just talk or listen, you know, to your neighbors. Go over there and see how they're doing and just listen to how they're doing and have a good visit with them.
Recker says there are many ways to start the conversation about mental health.
Through the Farm Bureau organization, you can go to farmstateofmind.org, and that refers you to a lot of different places that you can get help. And it's not just, of course, agriculture. With COVID now, you think of the restaurant workers and other small businesses that are really struggling a lot. And mental health is going to be a very big issue. And what happens is children see their parents struggling. So that's going to be the next problem that we have.
Recker formed the Farmer Angel Network over a year ago to provide an open forum for farmers to talk about farm stress, mental health, and suicide in Wisconsin. You can find it by searching Farmer Angel Network on Facebook. Exports of U.S. pork to other countries exceeded expected levels in 2020. Clay Eastwood, Director of International Marketing with the National Pork Board, says both volume and value of U.S. pork exports were up year over year through November, according to the latest available data.
So to put a little bit in perspective there, So January through November, we're at just under 6 billion pounds, which is up 14% year over year. And we're just over $7 billion worth of value, which is up 13% year over year. In terms of export value per head, November, we're just over $63 per head. And year to date through November at $58.53 export value per head.
Eastwood says 29.3% of total pork production is sold on the export market. She explains the importance of carcass balance based on what countries value which cuts.
It's important to remember that when you harvest an animal, we try to utilize all of the parts and pieces. Not all of those parts and pieces are consumed here domestically, but in different places around the world and in different markets, some of those variety meats or byproducts are actually considered higher value and carry a premium. So that's one of the great stories for U.S. pork in terms of carcass balance and utilization of the entire carcass.
According to Eastwood, there is global competition for pork, but U.S. pork is considered the leader when it comes to quality, cost, and safety.
We're a low-cost producer. We have a high-quality, consistent product that's very, very safe. And so safety is really a non-negotiable when you talk about meat products. Those are really the pillars of what we stand on, but also the things like our We Care principles, our sustainability efforts, why we produce the product that we do and how we do it is really, really important on the global stage.
For more information on U.S. pork, the global marketplace, and on-farm practices, you can log on to pork.org. The new Joe Biden administration brings hope for a change in trade policy. However, Brian Keel of Farmers for Free Trade says doing so will take time.
We certainly are hopeful. We don't want to get everyone's hopes up too high, though. I think it's going to be a process. We don't expect that the Biden administration will come in and instantly lift the tariffs and everything will go back to pre-trade war. But we're hopeful that over 2021 and into 2022, we'll see a gradual thaw of some of these relationships that have got hammered pretty hard.
Beyond trade war issues, Keel says Farmers for Free Trade is advocating for a return to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, now known as the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement that President Obama had negotiated with 11 other Pacific Rim countries. Unfortunately, on President Trump's second day in office, he pulled us out of that trade agreement. The other 11 countries that were part of that trade agreement, they continued on and they've set up their own trade pact without us. So we're going to have to ask them to join it. And it's unclear whether President Biden would want to join on the terms that President Obama had negotiated or whether he'd want to reopen some issues.
Other trade issues include Brexit, which Kiel says should provide trade opportunity for the United States with Great Britain. However, trade issues with the European Union are a hurdle.
The EU, by drawing these lines in the sand on things like the precautionary principle and geographic indicators, they in essence export those standards around the world. So then when we go to try to have a negotiation with another country, if they've already entered into a trade agreement with the EU, they have a standard that they want to adopt, and it makes it very difficult for us. So it's important that we make some changes on these issues.
Other matters include enforcement issues for dairy trade with Canada under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and reforms to the World Trade Organization while still being a member of the WTO. Western Canada is concerned the on-again, off-again political drama that's plagued Canada's Keystone XL oil pipeline may be off again. President Joe Biden halted construction of the pipeline shortly into his White House tenure. Now, the Keystone issue has been an irritant that goes back to the Obama-Biden era. Joe Biden had campaigned that one of his first acts would be to cancel the project. Coincidentally, one of former President Trump's first acts back in 2017 was to reinstate Keystone, which reversed President Obama's cancellation decision the year earlier. During his congratulatory call to the freshly elected Biden, Prime Minister Trudeau raised the Keystone pipeline as a top priority.
I've been very, very clear on my support for this project for the past 7 years. The importance of this project from a jobs perspective, also from an energy security perspective. I brought up this issue in my very first conversation with President-elect Biden, and I look forward to speaking with President Biden in the coming days.
The pipeline originates in oil-rich Alberta, projected to run 1,200 miles down to Nebraska and join up with an existing pipeline. Keystone's purposes was always intended to expand critical oil exports from Canada, which has the third largest oil reserves in the world. In a recent interview with the Alberta Premier Jason Kenney, he said the Keystone Project is about jobs on both sides of the border. It's about the U.S. having a reliable energy partner in Canada, and Kenney says that it's also about improving and solidifying Canada-U.S. relations.
The federal government is the entity best equipped to prevail on Joe Biden. They have a lot of alignment philosophically on many of the parts of their fundamental agenda that transcends just climate policy. Canadian government should be making the point, we are your closest ally. You should be prepared to at least sit down with Canada before you take this action. At the very least, prove to Canadians and especially Albertans that they've tried to affect that negotiation. If they're not successful, we'll all have to take stock about what kind of relationship we're going to have with the Biden administration in the future.
Stark differences between Trump's fossil energy policies and Biden's intention to transition away from oil has had a roller coaster effect on Canada's oil industry. Over the past 2 years, the Alberta government has invested nearly $1 billion in the privately owned Keystone Project. Various political polls and surveys have shown that Alberta was the most broadly pro-Trump of any Canadian region, and analysts said Alberta's Keystone investment was simply a gamble that Trump was going to be reelected. An expensive bet. This has been another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.